In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. We hear part of the impromptu frontline doctors press conference held in Washington, D.C. last week. Facebook, Twitter, and other social media platforms had removed the videos and references. Why would doctors who share proven successful treatment of COVID-19 infection during a badly handled pandemic be censored across major social media? And add this in with the unpublishing of the report on the NIH, the National Institute of Health website, revealing the connection with exposure to fifth-generation wireless radiation in the body's reaction that will create COVID-19. We go now to hear part of the second press conference held by the newly formed frontline doctors in response to the censorship.
Jenny Beth Martin with Tea Party Patriots. Yesterday, I was out here with America's frontline doctors. Breitbart live streamed the video from a news conference. That video had 185,000 concurrent users and over 17 million views. Late last night, Facebook removed the video, and Twitter and Google, YouTube have been removing and censoring us since then, including removing tweets by President Trump. We're back to say the exact same message that we said yesterday, and that is Americans have reason to hope when it comes to COVID-19. There are treatment options available. We know much more about this virus now than we did when it first hit our shores. There are options available to help prevent it. There are options available in the early phase of the virus. The virus progresses through the body, and there is a secondary phase. During the secondary phase, most people have to be hospitalized. When that happens, there are also treatment options available. And should you need a ventilator, not a single person in America who needed a ventilator went without one. And there are even alternative treatments available for ventilators today. Now you may be asking, why in the world should you believe me? You don't have to. I'm going to let you hear from doctors. These are some of the doctors that I've been talking to for the last 14 weeks about this virus. They want America to have hope again for our future. We have to have a healthy respect for the virus, which I think that all Americans have had. We also need to find a way to balance that healthy respect with a way to begin living our lives again. And these doctors want to help move you out of this paralyzing state of fear that so many people in this country are in, so that you have the facts, you can make the best decision for your own health available. Now, if you don't believe me, listen to the doctors. They're the experts. When you get sick, who are you going to call? Who do you call? Do you pick up the phone and call the CDC? Do you call the FDA? Do you call the NIH? Did you even hear of Dr. Fauci before a few months ago? No. When you get sick, you pick up the phone and you call your own doctor. These are people who are like your own doctors. So if you don't believe what they're saying, call your own doctor. They're going to talk about hydroxychloroquine. And people in the media are going to attack us. I urge you to call your own doctor and ask for yourself. Is hydroxychloroquine an FDA-approved drug? Is it safe? If you go to a country where malaria is prevalent, is your doctor likely to prescribe hydroxychloroquine to you? And how long has this drug been around? The answer is, it is FDA approved. It's been around for 65 years. Doctors prescribe it for malaria, and it is a safe drug. We know this. Why is it that the media is shutting down what doctors are telling you they know about the drug? You want to know something else? This drug, back in January and February, as doctors heard what was happening with COVID before it was even here, doctors started buying hydroxychloroquine like the rest of us were buying toilet paper and paper towels. Now, why did they do that? They did it because they think it's important. And they thought there was something about this medication that would help patients like you. Please listen to them. Don't let the social media companies and big tech shut down this message. Why would they not want this message to get to the American people, especially if it can save lives? And Dr. Harvey Risch, who is a Yale epidemiologist, has said this medication can save lives. And now I'm going to go to Dr. Simone Gold, who is with America's Frontline Doctors.
Hey, good morning. It's Dr. Simone Gold. I'm back. We were here yesterday, and I want to just say to the people who are watching, first of all, I'm a board-certified emergency physician. I practice emergency medicine on the front lines, whether or not there's a pandemic. So we have a heckler here who thinks she went to medical school. Should we ask her a question? How do you pronounce the drug? How do you pronounce the drug? Come here. How do you pronounce the drug? Come on. You're a doctor. Your view is, your view is as equal as mine. You're here. Come on. Come on. Oh, yeah. I don't have to. Go away from my space, ma'am. Anyway, so I'm a board.
We need to get this message out.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is an example of censorship. We have censorship from the little guy and we have censorship from big tech. So for everybody who tuned in yesterday, I understand it went to over 20 million views on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. And then they deleted us and canceled us. First of all, for the people who have written emails, I've gotten 1,000. I understand that my website is down because of what we're saying, I guess, to save American lives is considered so dangerous. First of all, I will get to your emails in time. They took my website down, but I know there's been thousands. I've seen them. I've heard you. We're coming, okay? America's Frontline Doctors. We're not here for any media attention. We're not here for politics. I started on this journey, again, as a board-certified emergency physician, that I was very distressed that my patients in front of me, I wasn't being allowed to give them a prescription medicine that's safe, FDA-approved for 65 years. I want to correct my colleague, Jenny Beth, who's not a doctor. Hydroxychloroquine is a derivative of quinine, right, which George Washington used in the Revolutionary War. We find it in tree barks. This is not a controversial drug. Anybody sitting at a computer now can go and Google hydroxychloroquine, and they'll find that before 2020, there was really no controversy about this drug whatsoever. This is a made-up controversy. It's a myth. We are finally coming forward at great personal and professional cost to ourselves. We're tired of seeing patients die in front of us. And we're even more upset to see the spider web of fear that is enveloping the American public. When there's a treatment, there's a cure. People have been afraid to say that. But what else do you call it if you give somebody the medication early and it aborts the disease process, right? So COVID-19 is really two different diseases. There's early and there's late. Early COVID-19 can be cured if you take hydroxychloroquine and zinc early. That's the story. There's lots of data. When my website's up, you'll be able to see it. It's all there. And we're coming after you, big tech. We're coming after you. We won't be silenced. The First Amendment is first for a reason. Okay? You won't silence. If we come back every day, we'll come back every day. There's thousands of us. And by the way, the tide of evidence for hydroxychloroquine being safe and the solution for Americans, it's a tsunami. Nobody can stop it. Google can't stop it. YouTube can't stop it. We use it all over the world. It's over the counter. Americans need to demand access to hydroxychloroquine. They can shrug off the spider web of fear. We can go back to being Americans. I'm going to ask my colleague James Todaro to say a few words. Thank you.
Hello, and I'm Dr. James Todaro. With all this censorship going on, I think what is the one of the most interesting parts of this is that hydroxychloroquine is still actually a prescription medication. So what those social media platforms, what Squarespace who took down our website is saying, not that they don't trust us as doctors, they don't trust doctors around the entire country to prescribe this medication. Doctors need to rise up, okay? Doctors need to rise up and say, I know my patients, I know how to read literature, I can determine which studies are true and which are entirely fabricated, as in a study published in the second most prestigious medical journal in the world, The Lancet, a fabricated study that was retracted. The EUA for the use of hydroxychloroquine was withdrawn about 11 days after that study was determined to be false, and is likely that decision to withdraw that was based on the fabricated data that hydroxychloroquine is dangerous, or even some of the studies that are very flawed that show it to be harmful. Thank you.
Dr. Taryn Clark now. She is a neurologist in Southern California.
Hi, as we're discussing that websites are getting taken down and our posts are getting taken down, I think one site that won't get taken down is the CDC. I was just going to talk about the CDC. So one site that won't get taken down is the CDC site. And so if you will go on the CDC site for hydroxychloroquine, you will see an information page about prophylaxis for malaria. And the mechanism of action in this disease is very similar. So if you will refer and see how safe the CDC says this medication is for prophylaxis at low doses, we have a national stockpile of 63 million doses still, and we have not had a shortage of this medication. Doctors do prescribe off-label for other indications, although there is also a petition currently at the FDA to put this on-label for COVID treatment. So no matter if our posts come down, no matter if our videos come down, please go to the cdc.gov website and search malaria hydroxychloroquine, and you will see much information from the CDC about this medication. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Richard Urso. I'm really happy to be here today. I've been doing this since early part of the year. And I knew at that time that the drug worked because it worked all the way back in 2005 for SARS. And we cannot let our patients die without treatment, right? And that's the major thing that's happened. We've been told to hide in our houses, wear a mask, and wait for a vaccine. That's not a strategy. We have a strategy, and I'm going to give you a little perspective, okay? The drug has been shown in endemic areas where they use it all the time. There's no COVID, almost zero. In studies where it was prophylaxed in India, where they did studies in Italy, in Portugal, Nigeria, where it was used for prophylaxis, the reduction in cases was about 80%. Who's the number one person for infectious disease in the world? And has he weighed in on this? He has. His name's Didier Raoul. He's treated 4,000 people with this drug and have fabulous results. Hydroxychloroquine works. Withholding it from patients is shameful. We're here to bring you that news. Hydroxychloroquine works.
I'm Dr. Stella Emanuel. I'm a pediatrician and an emergency room physician, Houston, Texas. I come from a different perspective. I'm from Cameroon originally, and I went to medical school in Nigeria. We took hydroxychloroquine, we took camoquine, flavoquine, and all the quines. So I'm kind of used to these medications. So when they started saying it was dangerous, I was like, what? Because we give it to babies, pregnant women, elderly people, everybody takes it. Hydroxychloroquine works. I have treated over 350 patients, asthmatics, diabetics, old people, 92-year-olds, 70-something-year-olds, 80-something-year-olds. We've not had one death. America, you don't need to be afraid. COVID has a cure. You don't need to be afraid. COVID has prevention. If they put everybody on hydroxychloroquine right now, for those with early disease, and those that want to get prevention, I'm telling you, we will stop COVID in its tracks in 30 days. I say that, and I can back that up. And for all of you that are attacking us and telling us that we don't exist, why don't you just look me up, TechTax Medical Board. Look us, every one of us. We're physicians. You can find us. We're not hiding. We're right here. Thank you.
Thank you. And now Dr. Scott Barber from Atlanta.
I would just like to say I'm here because I've been on the front lines of this pandemic since day one. I have a large practice with lots of patients and staff to be concerned about. We've been able to stay open the entire time by following simple guidelines. We do a lot of hand washing. We keep our place clean. And when patients test positive, we test. We find out who's sick. We give them hydroxychloroquine, and we haven't had a single incident. This medication is safe. As a doctor, I've been trying to educate myself throughout this pandemic about the best ways to serve my patients. and when the Lancet and New England Journal of Medicine published papers that were predicated on false stories, fake made-up data, and had to retract those studies 2 weeks later, I knew that something was rotten in the state of Denmark. It is important that people realize there is a concerted effort to keep the safety and efficacy of hydroxychloroquine away from the American people, and we need to speak up. All of us do. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Calderwood from Huntsville, Alabama. I'm a family physician and also boarded in ER medicine, or previously boarded. The only way you, as the American people, will get this drug is if you demand it. You're going to have to write to your congressmen, your governors, tweet President Trump. You've got to demand it. If you demand it, you'll get it, and you can save your life. And many others. Do it.
HCQ is the abbreviation for the drug. Hydroxychloroquine, make it HCQ for the hashtag. I want one more person to speak who is not an expert on hydroxychloroquine. I'm a mom. I testified before, or I spoke at President Trump's roundtable about schools reopening. And a lot of people around the country asked me, well, what about teachers? What about adults? And that's part of why I went back to the doctors and I said, what can we do? Because I want to make sure that adults are safe. And that's part of why we're here right now. And they talked about that. So again, I urge you to talk to your own doctor. But I would like Dr. Mark McDonald to come up as well and talk about what the lockdowns and the fear are doing to patients around the country, and also a little tiny bit about the harm that it's doing, not related to COVID, but to people's health. So I'd like you just to hear that, to understand this is more than just about COVID. It's about all of a person's medical health.
I'm Dr. Mark McDonald. I'm a child psychiatrist in Los Angeles, California. I'm here today because my patients are scared. I'm here today because the American people are scared. They're being told that staying at home, staying in their basements, putting on a hazmat suit and jumping in front of traffic as they pass by people on the street is going to keep them safe. That is not a strategy. It is a tragedy, and it is not going to keep them safe. My patients have worsened in their emotional condition without exception since March. Bedwetting, self-harm behavior, depression, anxiety, even suicide has increased dramatically since we shut the country down. And during that time, not a single child in the state of California has died of coronavirus. You can verify that on the CDC website. During that time, not a single adult has been infected through transmission of coronavirus from a child. In addition, the schools, which had been closed for 3, 4, 5 months in this country, have all reopened throughout the rest of the world, many, many places, successfully, without any significant rise in illness or death, and no transmission between students and teachers. This has been reported in very reputable journals throughout Europe, as recently as 10 days ago. We need a strategy to end the fear, because fear is what is keeping us from ending this pandemic. At this point, it is not a medical crisis, it is an emotional crisis. But people are so afraid, they're grasping at straws to find anything, anything at all, that will give them a sense of peace and comfort. Well, we have that now, and it's not just a feeling, it's actually medically proven to be safe and effective, which is the hydroxychloroquine, which we've all been talking about in the last 24 hours. If we can release this and get this to the American people, the fear will end, our children will be safer, they will get back to school, their parents will get back to work, and our country will be back on its feet. We need to do this now. Take charge of yourselves, individuals. Don't leave it up to the leadership, the politicians, the media, the special interest groups to make those decisions for you. Make the decisions on your own. Talk to your doctors, talk to your congressmen, your senators. Follow what Mary Beth advised you to do. Look this up, speak out, take back your freedom. Stop living in fear. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And again, you don't have to believe me. I'm not a doctor. You don't have to believe these doctors. Call your own doctor. Get your own personal health assessment for how risky it is for you, how risky COVID would be for you and make your decisions based on that. And please, given what's happening with hydroxychloroquine, call your doctor and ask, is this drug FDA approved? How long has the drug been around? If you are going to a country with malaria, would your doctor be likely to prescribe this medication to you? And
the question comes down to what are the role of masks? We know that masks have a protective effect against many things. Unfortunately, masks don't protect against viruses very well. So an N95 mask lets through 5% of airborne particles, but probably no viruses are in that category. All viruses are in the 5% of size that actually doesn't. It's a little tough to talk because I've got to talk over a maniac, but basically viruses can fit through the mask. So I tell people it's a little bit like throwing sand at a chain link fence. You're going to get some stoppage. It's going to help. I wear the mask in my clinic. The major thing they're dealing with, like you can see, this is a madman who actually thinks the mask is going to save his life. We know in the OR, we've been doing this for 31 years. The mask won't work. He's in a cloth mask. It does absolutely nothing. In fact, it may infect him. So that just shows you that this fear is driven by the whole thing of social distancing, mask, and wait for a vaccine. And until that happens, we all have to hide. That's not true.
So what do you suggest that people do?
I think, you know, right now they're mandating masks. We have to wear them. We're here on the conference, so we're not wearing it right now. But I think the mandating of masks makes it easy. I'm not going to jaywalk if they tell me not to. I'll wear my mask. I have it in my pocket. So do I think it's scientifically sound? It probably blocks a little, but like I said, a sand drop blocking a chain link fence. There have, in the OR, we know we have spacesuits we wear, an N99 and N100. They block viruses. They have to be tight fitting. You need goggles for your eyes. If you really want to do it, get goggles, get an N99 or N100 mask, and you'll be protected. Thank you. I think we pushed the narrative, the elephant in the room. Is hydroxychloroquine works. And until we get that narrative out there, we don't need to be panicked and afraid if we have a prophylactic medicine. So that is where we need to go, is basically, let's do the masks, let's do the social distancing, let's get hydroxychloroquine over the counter, and let's find a way to get it into patients' hands where we can protect ourselves. Thank you.
As you can hear, that press conference was ultimately shut down by a shouting maniac who is not a random disruptor. He's played this role before. You can find him online. We go now to hear part of the originally censored Frontline Doctors press conference.
Hello, I'm Dr. Stella Emanuel. I'm a primary care physician in Houston, Texas. You know, I actually went to medical school in West Africa, Nigeria, where I took care of malaria patients, treated them with hydroxychloroquine and stuff like that. So I'm actually used to these medications. I'm here because I have personally treated over 350 patients with COVID. Patients that have diabetes, patients that have high blood pressure, patients that have asthma, old people. I think my oldest patient is 92, 87 year olds. And the result has been the same. I put them on hydroxychloroquine, I put them on zinc, I put them on Zitromax, and they are all well. For the past few months, I've taken care of over 350 patients. We've not lost one. Not a diabetic, not a somebody with high blood pressure, not somebody with asthma, not an old person. We've not lost one patient. And on top of that, I've put myself, my staff, and many doctors that I know on hydroxychloroquine for prevention, because by the very mechanism of action, it works early and as a prophylaxis. We see patients, 10 to 15 COVID patients every day. We give them breathing treatments. We only wear surgical masks. None of us has gotten sick. It works. So right now, I came here to Washington, D.C. to say, America, nobody needs to die. The study that made me start using hydroxychloroquine was a study that they did under the NIH in 2005 that say it works. Recently, I was doing some research about a patient that had hiccups, and I found out that they even did a recent study in the NIH, which is our national institute, that is the national NIH, National Institute of Health. They actually had a study, and go look it up. Type hiccups and COVID, you will see it. They treated a patient that had hiccups with hydroxychloroquine, and it proved that COVID is a symptom of hiccups. It's a symptom of COVID. So if the NIH knows that treating the patient with hydroxychloroquine proves that hiccup is a symptom of COVID, then they definitely know that hydroxychloroquine works. I'm upset. Why I'm upset is that I see people that cannot breathe. I see parents walk in. I see diabetics sit in my office knowing that this is a death sentence and they can't breathe. And I hug them and I tell them, it's going to be okay. You're going to leave. And we treat them and they leave. None has died. So if some fake science, some person sponsored by all these fake pharma companies comes and say, oh, we've done studies and they found out that it doesn't work, I can tell you categorically it's fake science. I want to know who is sponsoring that study. I want to know who is behind it. Because there is no way I can treat 350 patients and counting and nobody is dead and they all did better. And then you're going to tell me that you treated 20 people, 40 people and it didn't work. I'm a true testimony. So I came here to Washington, D.C., to tell America, nobody needs to get sick. This virus has a cure. It is called hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and Zithromax. I know people want to talk about masks. Hello? You don't need masks. There is a cure. I know they don't want to open schools. No, you don't need people to be locked down. There is prevention, and there is a cure. And let me tell you something. All you fake doctors out there that tell me, oh, yeah, I want a double-blinded studies. I just tell you, quit sounding like a computer, double-blinded, double-blinded. I don't know whether your chips are malfunctioning, but I'm a real doctor. I have radiologists, we have plastic surgeons, we have neurosurgeons like Sanjay Gupta saying, oh, yeah, it doesn't work and it causes heart disease. Let me ask you, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, hear me. Have you ever seen a COVID patient? Have you ever treated anybody with hydroxychloroquine and they died from heart disease? When you do, come and talk to me. Because I sit down in my clinic every day and I see these patients walk in every day, scared to death. I see people driving 2-3 hours to my clinic because some ER doctor is scared of the Texas board or they are scared of something and they will not prescribe medication to these people. I tell all of you doctors that are sitting down and watching Americans die. You're like the good Nazis, the good Germans that watched Jews get killed and you did not speak up. If they come after me, they threaten me. They've threatened to, I've gotten all kinds of threats. Oh, they're going to report me to the boards. I say, you know what? I don't care. I'm not going to let Americans die. And if this is the mountain, if this is the hill where I get nailed on, I will get nailed on it. I don't care. You can report me to the boards. You can kill me. You can do whatever. But I'm not going to let Americans die. And today I'm here to say it, that America, there is a cure for COVID. All this foolishness does not need to happen. There is a cure for COVID. There is a cure for COVID. It's called hydroxychloroquine. It's called zinc. It's called Zithromax. And it is time for the grassroots to wake up and say, no, we're not going to take this any longer. We're not going to die. Because let me tell you something. When somebody is dead, they are dead. They're not coming back tomorrow to have an argument. They're not coming back tomorrow to discuss the double-blinded study and the data. All of you doctors that are waiting for data, if 6 months down the line you actually found out that this data shows that this medication works, how about your patients that have died? You want a double-blinded study where people are dying? It's unethical. So, guys, we don't need to die. There is a cure for COVID.
Oh, my God. Dr. Emmanuel, also known as Warrior. Before I introduce the next guest, I just want to say that I wish all doctors that are listening to this bring that kind of passion to their patients. And the study that Dr. Emmanuel was referring to is in virology, which talks about a SARS viral epidemic that affects the lungs that came from China. And they didn't know what would work. The study showed that chloroquine would work. It sounds exactly like it could have been written 3 months ago. But in fact, that study in virology, which was published by the NIH, the National Institute of Health, when Dr. Anthony Fauci was the director, again, the official publication of the NIH virology, 15 years ago showed that chloroquine, we use hydroxychloroquine, it's the same, a little safer, works They proved this 15 years ago when we got this novel coronavirus, which is not that novel. It's 78% similar to the prior version, the COVID-1. Not surprisingly, it works. I'm now going to introduce our next speaker. Sorry, I forgot to say your name.
That's all right. Dr. Dan Erickson. Dr. Gold asked me to talk about the lockdowns, how effective they were, and do they cause anything non-financial? They always talk about the financial, but you have to realize that lockdowns, we haven't taken a $21 trillion economy and locked it down. So when you lock it down, it causes public health issues. Our suicide hotlines are up 600%. Our spousal abuse, different areas of alcoholism are all on the rise. These are public health problems from a financial lockdown. So we have to be clear on that fact that there is, it's not like you just lock it down and have consequences to people's jobs. They also have consequences, health consequences at home. So we're talking about having a little more of a measured approach, a consistent approach. If we have another spike, coming in cold and flu season, let's do something that's sustainable. What's sustainable? Well, we can socially distance and wear some masks, but we can also open the schools and open businesses. So this measured approach I'm talking about isn't made up. It's going on in Sweden, and their deaths are about 564 per million. UK full lockdown, 600 deaths per million. So we're seeing that the lockdowns aren't decreasing significantly the amount of deaths per million. Some of their Nordic neighbors have less deaths for a variety of reasons I don't have time to go into today. So what my quick message here in a minute or two is just that we need to take an approach that's sustainable. A sustainable approach is slowing things down, opening up schools, opening up businesses, and then we can allow the people to have their independence and their personal responsibility to choose to wear masks and socially distance, as opposed to putting edicts on them, controlling them. Let's empower them with data and let them study what other countries have done and make their own decision. That's what I'd like to share. Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Are there any questions?
Excited. Well, I'm from South Dakota. You might have heard.
Yes.
I'm so glad you guys are preaching this message.
South Dakota did something interesting, and it's interesting that you're from there. So the governor did not restrict access to hydroxychloroquine.
We know. We took a lot of flack for that.
Right. And you were, I believe you were the only state in the union that did that. And there's been studies out there that attempt to show that it doesn't work. They're inaccurate because they're given at the wrong time, the wrong dose, the wrong patient, right, either too much or at the wrong time. So South Dakota did better because it had access to hydroxychloroquine. Thank you so much.
Okay, so if someone we love does get sick with COVID, and you said the hydrochloroquine is restricted, how do we get access to that?
That's the number one question we're all asked every day. I want you to know that you're not alone. I've had many congressmen ask me, how can I get it? So if the congressman can't get it, it's tough luck for the average American Joe getting it. It's very difficult. You have to overcome a few hurdles. Your doctor has to have read the science with a critical eye and have eliminated the junk science. Many studies have been retracted, as you know. And number two, the pharmacist has to not restrict it. Many states have empowered their pharmacists to not honor physician prescription. That's never happened before. That interference with the doctor-patient relationship, where the patient talks to the doctor honestly and the doctor answers the patient honestly, has been violated. So you have a very difficult time as the average American. Some of the information we'll share later this afternoon is to show the mortality rates in countries where it's not restricted and the mortality rates where it is restricted. So I have friends all over the world now because of this. And in Indonesia, you can just buy it over the counter. It's in the vitamin section. And I'm here to tell the American people that you can buy it over the counter in Iran, because the leaders in Iran, the mullahs in Iran, think that they should have more freedom than Americans. I have a problem with that. My colleagues have problems with that. We don't like to watch patients die.
So, Dr. Gold, if people have problems, they should be picking up the phone, calling. They should be calling their state and their federal representatives and senators and say, we are the American people,
Let me say one thing.
So you guys, we need the public to be the speaker.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you, Julie. That is exactly right. If you hear what you're, when you hear this, if you're concerned and wondering why you may not be able to get access to it, we need you to make four calls. Call your governor, call both of your senators, and call your congressman. And tell them that you want to know why you're not able to get access to a drug that doctors are telling you will help end this and help us reduce the number of hospitalizations and reduce the number of deaths. Urge them to read Dr. Harvey Risch's study from Yale. He's a Yale professor of epidemiology, and from there you'll find other studies.
Yes.
I wanted to ask, how do people trust the data that they're looking at every day? The numbers are so variable, whether you go to Johns Hopkins, CDC, which divides COVID deaths in different categories, you know, whether it's related to pneumonia, other things. So how do we get the right information to make decisions?
So the only number that I think is worth paying any attention to, and even that number is not so helpful, but is mortality, because that's a hard and fast number. So the case number is almost irrelevant. And that's because there's a lot of inaccuracies with the testing. And also, even if the test is accurate, most people are asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic. So it's not that important to know. So the case number, which you see rising all the time in the news, is basically irrelevant. And if you had told us a few months ago that that was the number that the media was going to go crazy over, we all would have just laughed at that. I mean, that's essentially herd immunity. There's lots of people out there who have tested positive without symptoms or with very mild symptoms. So the only number that's worth paying attention to is mortality. When you look at the mortality, this is a disease that takes, that unfortunately kills our most frail members of society. People with multiple comorbid conditions, specifically diabetes, obesity is a big one. We don't talk about that, but it is. It's a fact. Coronary artery disease, severe coronary artery disease, people like that. And also, if you're older, it's a risk factor. But the biggest risk factor is if you have comorbid conditions. If you're young and healthy, this is not, you're going to recover. If you're under 60 with no comorbid conditions, it's less deadly than influenza. This seems to come as great news to Americans because this is not what you're being told. I would say the answer is it's very difficult to get accurate numbers.
If you, this is Matt Purdy of Breitbart News. If you had a message to Dr. Anthony Fauci, what would you say to him?
Listen to the doctors. Listen to the frontline doctors. Have a meeting with the frontline doctors. And maybe I need to say that into the microphone.
My message to Dr. Anthony Fauci is to have a meeting with these frontline doctors who are seeing real patients. They're touching human skin. They're looking people in the eye. They're diagnosing them, and they're helping them beat the virus. They're the ones who are talking to the patients. Have meetings with them and do it every single day and find out what they are learning about the virus firsthand. And this is, and it's important to understand, we have doctors here who are not emergency room doctors. They're preventing patients from even hitting the emergency room. So if they're only listening to emergency room or ICU at the very tragic end of a person's life, they're not getting the full story. They need to come back and hear the earlier portion, and they also need to understand what the lockdowns and the fears are doing to patients around this country, because there are a lot of unintended consequences which the doctors can speak about.
Let me say something. My message to Dr. Anthony Fauci is, when is the last time you put a stethoscope on a patient? That when you start seeing patients, like we see on a daily basis, you will understand the frustration that we feel. And you need to start feeling for American people like we, the frontline doctors, feel. And you need to start realizing that they are listening to you. And if they are going to listen to you, you got to give them a message of hope. You got to give them a message that goes with what you already know, that hydroxychloroquine works.
I actually have a question for Dr. Warrior.
Dr. Emmanuel.
Dr. Emmanuel, you mentioned before some remarkable results that you've had treating your own patients. You said, I believe, over 300 patients.
Yes. Yes,
sir. Have you been able to publish your findings and results from those patients?
We're working on publishing it right now. We're working on that. But this is what I'll say. People like, doctors tell me all the time, publish the data. And my question is, and that will make you see patients? There's enough data around the world. Yes, my data will come out. When that comes out, that's great. But right now, people are dying. So my data is not important for you to see patients. I'm saying that to my colleagues out there that talk about data.
And this is vaguely connected, but there is a connection to all of this, I guess, when you really stand back. We hear a song by the late Isaac Cappy, who is among the mysteriously missing or deceased Pedigate researchers. This song was made before Jeffrey Epstein was imprisoned. Isaac Cappy's improvisation alludes to the interlocking networks and spiderweb of industries associated with human trafficking. Let's have a listen.
Hello, guys, something special is happening in here. That's right, it's Brackets and Jackets bringing it back for Brackets and Jackets. Special Epstein Island edition. That's right, folks. Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein, the man with the island, which is suspiciously close to Haiti. That's right. You see, this man, Jeffrey Epstein, is funding lots of people. He's funding lots of people on the street to make sure his doesn't get out. That's right. They want the record sealed. They're paying a lot of people. Epstein's paying a lot of people. Oh, boy. For one, he's got a whole Mossad media matrix in America. And I would bet you anything that Alex Jones is one of them. Prove me wrong. That's right. Cappy's in the portal. Cappy's in the portal. Cappy's in the building with songs about Epstein. It's Brackets and Jackets Epstein edition. Guys, I had some epiphanies today. I had some real big epiphanies about some guys. A big network of guys and spies and lies and liars. All right, think about this for a minute, okay? The guy in Portland, the scientist that just got busted for producing CP, that guy is 1 degree of separation away from Epstein. Epstein, the investor that lives in West Palm Beach, Florida. I know a guy who lives in West Palm Beach, Florida as well. Investor as well. Also involved as well. And all is not well with these guys. The Florida boys, the Glow boys, the Scott Israels of the world. You see, Epstein is Hillary Clinton. And Epstein is Haiti. And Epstein is a big network of media assets. By the way, did you know that Steve Bannon was going to that guy for money? Also, Epstein. Is Epstein Oprah? Epstein is, Chris Tucker. You remember him. Epstein is also Kevin Spacey. Epstein is also Prince Andrew. Epstein is also... Who else is Epstein? Who else is Epstein? Tell me. You guys know? Who else is Epstein? Is Epstein Big Pharma? Is Epstein Bryan Singer? Is Epstein Naomi Campbell? Yep, all of the above. All of the above. Who is Epstein? Epstein is the keystone of a whole mother matrix. And once you pull it out, once you pull it out, it all falls down. Dersh, Dersh was there too. See, here's something that really made a kind of weird epiphany to me today is when I figured out that Gabe Hoffman lives in West Palm Beach, Florida, and is an investor in West Palm Beach, Florida, and had a documentary about this guy, Bryan Singer. But isn't Bryan Singer Epstein as well? Were they maybe setting up a little play for this guy, Bryan Singer? Maybe they didn't even bring him them down to where the real shit is happening. They always had a fall guy to take them out. That's kind of where my mind's going. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. What about Alex Jones? Who else is Epstein funding? The guy was friggin' loaded. And there's accounts in the Cayman Islands. Plus, if you've got paymasters, if you've got people that will pay and do your dirty work for you, like set up ops on patriotic Americans. Well, what about that? By the way, I got a call today. I got a call today from somewhere in the Pacific Northwest. It was the best, guys. It was a very good call. Some things are happening all over the world. Oh, yes. Some things are happening all over the world. By the way, may I remind you that that scientist that was busted in Portland just a couple of days or maybe a week ago was busted for producing CP, and he is 1 degree away from Epstein. That's right, Epstein. Pull it out, pull it out. Pull it like a ding on the bottom. Pull it like a ding on the bottom. Pull it out, and everything all falls down. Prove me wrong. You see, Epstein is so many things and so many people, and so much was going on underneath the Temple of Doom. Well, I hate to be a harbinger of bad news, but people took devices into the temple, you friggin' idiots. That's why we have everything. We have everything. It's true. And you know how we do. Send this to your mom. Be like, hey mom, hey AOC, hey Rashida. Is there anyone who would like to look into this Jeffrey Epstein character? Because he has some associations we should look into. You might as well do it. Is there anyone brave enough? I think all of America could be brave enough, because here's what Epstein means. Once you take it out, that means a bunch of bad guys on both sides go tumbling down. Like, hey, Democrats, I'll tell you what. I bet you if we pull this Jenga, we could get... Oh, we could do a lot of good for all of America. Make all of America great. And get rid of the hate and infighting and people that somehow irrationally go after Q, because I think Q is a pretty cool dude. That's right, Turtle. That is correct. We must unseal. Let's see what lurks inside those records. What's inside those records? Let me see what you got in there. What do you got in there? Oh boy! Nail you to the wall. Prove me wrong. You can't prove me wrong. Ooh, I am high. I am indeed high on amazing vibes and feelings that we are entering into a new era. But first, we might have to do a few things. That's right. See, you can't just keep covering it up, because the truth is coming out and you can't put it under the ground. As hard as you try, run to it! Make a run for it! You bitch! See, you are going down, and your clowns! You are all going down to the ground! This is Dr. Light! Dr. Light! That's right! Get another proxy! Masadi Hotties! And mother little ho daddies! You got all that blackmail from Epstein Island! And you want to keep it on the low-low, but you can't, bro. You cannot keep it up, bro. Oh, boy. This Epstein guy. keeps some interesting company, doesn't he? Prove me wrong. What about Branson? I mean, he's right there. What about the guy named, what about some, maybe some secret guys? Huh? Maybe some filmmaker guys. Who else is Epstein? That's the thing, we don't know. We don't know what's going on with Epstein. I mean, it is a fact that Epstein was pictured with Trump. Now, I know better, but shouldn't it at least be looked at, America? Yeah, Rachel, that's where my head's going. Who else was on the island? Was Paris Hilton? Oh, sh- was Paris? Were you there, Paris? Paris, were you there? Is that why you're doing what you're doing? You know what happens when we sing this song? When we all sing along? Yes, the Lolita Express. Who was on that plane and what was they doing? They were in Santa Fe, New Mexico, weren't they? Santa Fe, Epstein, heard he got a ranch out there, heard it, Mexico's really close. What about when the border was porous with all those people poured upon us? Those little people smuggled in and sold to people, like what happened in Tucson and probably New Mexico and probably California, all over the world. This industrial complex of slavery. These modern day slavers are slavers. That's right. Santa Fe, New Mexico. I don't know if he was in the city. May have been the county. Not quite sure on the details of that aspect. Probably should look it up. But I know that the flight log showed that Jeffrey Epstein was definitely in Santa Fe. Oh, me. Oh, yes, please have a look. Have a look. Spread it around now. Oh yeah, Prince Andrew. So that brings a royal family into the equation. Who knew? Lots of choppers overhead sometimes. They like to have a peek. Yeah, they like to have a peek. Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. So think about the concept of a bagman, hey? What about a bagman? A bad man who holds the bag for bad man. Is it Jeffrey Epstein? Hey? Is it a Jeffrey Epstein? Palm Beach, what's up? We're coming to you live from America. Oh boy. It's so funny to watch people be stupid idiots. True story. It makes me laugh. Sometimes it makes me cry when bad people do bad things to other people. But that's why. That's why we do what we do. So who else was on the island? Who's on the island? Who's on the island? Illuminati gay frogs. That's correct. Illuminati gay frogs. Gay frogs. Senators, and let's make a ruckus. We need to get to the bottom of this Epstein guy. Who was on? Who was? What was going on the island? Who was on the flight logs? What is in the tunnels? And why is Jeffrey Epstein paying so many people all across America? That's right, that's right, that's right. Is Trump involved? Well, I mean, it's obvious he hung out with Epstein a few times, so yeah, he is involved. Everyone's involved, guys. Everyone, everyone. Maybe, what about, oh, the Clintons are big time, big time, big time, big time into it. Of course, we must know. Let's clean America out. I guarantee you will have a better taste in your mouth. When this is all done, it's like toothpaste. Lick it up. Avenatti? I don't know. We know that Avenatti was trying to blackmail Nike. But by the way, Nike is Epstein problems too. You see, Portland is Epstein problems too. And Hillary is Epstein problems too. It's all Epstein, guys. All Epstein. Make sure you download this. Spread it around. This is important, guys. On the island, we know Ray Chandler has an association. Why do you think the media assets of Jeffrey Epstein? Because who has the will and the means to take the truth tellers out? You see, you can never take truth tellers out because we tell the truth. And that for you means you are at a strategic disadvantage, especially now when we have friends. We have friends who aren't the bad guys. In fact, we have friends who are the good guys. And the good guys win. Read the book. It's in the end.
That was a song by the late Isaac Cappy titled Brackets and Jackets. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit InOtherNewsRadio.com for archives and more information about the guests.